if we could just pray for each other one more time, asking that the Lord would speak to us in a special way on this Divine Mercy Sunday. And let us ask for Our Lady's help. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the Gospel, we hear about the apostolic witness. Ultimately, the apostles had to encounter the Lord in his resurrection. And then in the second reading, we hear about our personal appropriation of that apostolic witness. And then in the first reading, we hear about the impact that that has in forming a Christian community around that apostolic witness. So we see that full movement, the faith objectively in the risen Christ, an objective reality received first by the apostles, and their faith, through the struggles of that with Thomas, and we know Peter's struggles from the previous experiences. John and Peter ran to the tomb. Peter went in first. John looked in and believed. Peter still didn't believe. They didn't believe Mary Magdalene. We know they struggled to take hold of that, but ultimately the apostles, by the grace of God, were able to take in that faith, that objective reality of Christ's resurrection. They were able to take it in and safeguarded to faithfully communicate it to us. But then it's the task of every believer in every generation to allow that apostolic witness to communicate the concrete reality that Christ is risen, He is alive. And that transforms communities in receiving His mercy, in believing in the power of His resurrection, in knowing that He faces those who crucified Him not with condemnation, but with mercy. Each generation of believers takes that in and it forms a community of mercy, giving to each according to their need. There are two amazing things about that. One is they gave, but the other is they actually knew the needs. Do we even know the needs of our community, of our brothers and sisters, of our families, of our neighbors? Do we know the needs of those sitting next to us in the pews? Already, from the inside, the reception of the message of Christ has the power to form a community. But I want to just focus some attention on that personal reception, which we hear especially in the writings of St. John. He made this powerful statement. He said, "The victory that conquers the world is our faith. The victory that conquers the world is our faith." That's what transforms the worldly community of helping others out of convenience or a kind of Machiavellian service that ultimately comes back to my advantage, scratching someone else's back only so that he will scratch mine, that kind of manipulative service, to something that is truly self-giving, truly self-emptying, truly generous without counting the cost. It's transformed from within by our faith. What is that faith that conquers the world, that conquers those worldly dynamics, that conquers the spirit of independence and self-sufficiency that the world so strongly promotes? What is it? The victory that conquers the world is our faith. And we know our faith in one respect. We're going to make a profession of faith in just a moment after you renew your vows as secular Carmelites. We're going to make a profession of faith. And we know that one dimension of faith is the kind of professing the content. There's an intellectual content. It's a fuller embracing of truth, a fuller receiving of truth than what science or our senses or our philosophies can discern. There's something over and above that in a very fundamental way that Jesus is risen. But we know that faith also requires this dimension of the will. And in that, we usually use the word trust. Faith has a dimension of trust. And that just brings us so beautifully back into the content of what we've been meditating on the past 48 hours, that trust in divine mercy, that trust in merciful love, the confidence of little children who have hope and can place their trust in a father who doesn't turn away from them, but who turns toward them, who doesn't abandon them, but pursues them. That trust is at the heart of it. That confidence is at the heart of it. And I hope that's a concrete fruit that you come away from this weekend with, is a deeper trust in God's presence, in his merciful love. We heard in that moving drama of Jacques Fesch in his last hours, the ways that the devil tempts. He tries to attack. He tries to find our weakness. He tries to find the thing that he can say that makes us give up or abandon hope or lose confidence. He's always attacking, trying to find a way in after our trust. But how beautiful, and Jacques Fesch identified it, there is a grace there that we also have to receive by a choice. Our choice is also involved, our freedom, our free will, which is a necessary part of our love. And so we strengthen that by using our trust. We strengthen our trust. Pope Francis had some beautiful things to say this morning in his homily for Divine Mercy Sunday, which he celebrated in St. Peter's Square. He talked about this confidence, and he drew it from the gospel reading, the tender way that St. Thomas, really we could already begin with St. Thomas's doubt. It's only the boldness of a child that even has the courage to doubt. I want to see the nail marks. I want to touch the wound in his side. Doesn't that sound like your three-year-old, right? Who has the boldness to protest. We love that, and Jesus loves that. Jesus never rebuked him, even as he invited him closer. Come on now, Thomas. Okay, here we go. He loves that. He loves our challenges, our childlike challenges. If it's not done in a spirit of obstinacy, you know, there's a difference. But Thomas's protest, that also comes from a certain kind of woundedness because he felt bad that he got left out. We all know what that feels like. I didn't want to be left out. I want to see too. Can see that childlike cry in Thomas, and Jesus honors that and draws close to him. And then Thomas bursts forth with this beautiful profession of faith, and it's what Pope Francis meditates on. Thomas, after seeing the Lord's wounds, cried out, "My Lord and my God." I would like to reflect on that. He says, the translation says adjective. I think it's a possessive pronoun, isn't it? Anyway, that Thomas repeats, "My." It is a possessive. When we think about it, it might seem inappropriate to use it of God. How can God be mine? How can I make the Almighty mine? The truth is, by saying my, we do not profane God, but honor his mercy, because God wished to become ours. As in a love story, we tell him, "You became man for me. You died and rose for me, and thus you are not only God, you are my God. You are my life. In you I have found the love that I was looking for, and much more than I could have ever imagined." God takes no offense at being ours, because love demands confidence. Mercy demands trust. At the very beginning of the Ten Commandments, God said, "I am the Lord, your God," and reaffirmed, "I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God." Here we see how God presents himself as a jealous lover who calls himself your God. From the depths of Thomas's heart comes the reply, "My Lord and my God." As today we enter through Christ's wounds into the mystery of God, we come to realize that mercy is not simply one of his qualities among others, but the very beating of his heart. Then, like Thomas, we no longer live as disciples, uncertain, devout, but wavering. We too fall in love with the Lord. That's the prepared homily, and Pope Francis emphasized it. We fall in love. And what we've seen in St. Therese, and in her perfect appropriation of the teaching of St. John of the Cross, and the teaching that she offers for us, who maybe can't envision ourselves as the great eagle that soars, but hopefully we can all identify with the little bird that is carried on the back of that eagle, who can't reach the sun on our own, but carried on that great eagle who is Christ, we can plunge into the Son of the Father's burning love. And if we have nothing else to go with, in the face of our weaknesses and knowing how easily we fall, can we at least identify ourselves as little children? And can we learn the boldness of Saint Therese to have confidence in the Father, that He can prepare us in an instant? I know you can do it, Daddy. I know you can do it. Can we have that childlike trust, the confidence that comes from one who falls in love? And when we do, we will find also carrying with us that beautiful gift that Jesus greeted the apostles with. Peace I leave with you. On this Divine Mercy Sunday of all days, can we have childlike trust in His mercy in a way that fills our souls and even lifts us up on the wings of peace as it carries us into the burning love of the Father's heart.